one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the Truth Provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the Truth Provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Folks, I'm going to assume that we're on the air. I've been having trouble connecting in tonight. We have Stephen Jacobson on with us. And I know if I'm not on the air, somebody will be calling me. But I've been having this problem all day long, folks. And I dial a number, and it says DS4. The location that you're trying to dial is not in our network. And then I have to go through one suite to get through. So anyway, we are here, and I'm glad you're with us tonight. Stephen Jacobson, as I promised you last night, Steve Jacobson is with us. Today is Tuesday, and it is the 7th of June in the year 2005. And before we bring Stephen up, let me share our spiritual message with you. I pulled this from the deck, or from the box. It's not a deck of cards, but it's from my Course in Miracles, quotes from the Course in Miracles. This is from the workbook, page 76. There is a place in you where there is perfect peace. There is a place in you where nothing is impossible. There is a place in you where the strength of God abides. And I love that. And Stephen Jacobson, thank you for being with us tonight.
Well, it's always a pleasure being with you, Jackie.
Well, it's our great pleasure too. I told our listeners last night, that you had called me. I think it was Trinity Broadcasting that you were listening to.
Well, watching, yes, last week.
Watching, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, will you share with our listeners what it is that you see that's going on, Stephen?
Well, excuse me
just for a minute.
Sure.
In case we might have some new listeners. Stephen Jacobson, in case, folks, that you might be a new listener. Stephen is a personal friend of ours. He's become a personal friend. And but before that, we knew him through the audio documentaries he did on mind control media, Mind Control in America, and another one that he did, both of them awesome. And they're the only way you could describe them to me is that they are documentaries, and they are so richly documented. The other one is titled Wake Up America, and we'll be giving you Steve's address and how you can get these audio tapes. I just wanted to give it, Steve, I have this habit of thinking that when I bring a guest on, everybody listening knows who they are. And they don't always, do they?
No, but you've taken care of that.
Okay, great. Now we'll get on with
it. In researching the subject of mind control, I've been monitoring religious broadcasting since the same techniques that are used in the secular media are used in religious programming, both on television and radio. So from time to time, I watch the programming to see what is happening.
What kind of brainwashing they're doing?
Right. And so last week I had tuned in to TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, which I tune in from time to time to see what they're doing and what's being said, and just observing and looking for techniques, the same techniques that are used in other media. The program I tuned into was called "In the Course of Human Events: God's Plan for This Generation."
Who is the host of that one?
Ted Haggard.
Haggard, okay.
Haggard.
H-A-G-G-A-R-D.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, I saw his name in the World, what is it called?
World Prayer Team.
World Prayer Team, yeah.
Right. Now, this was last Wednesday, June 1st. It was early in the morning. And it really caught my eye. A very slick program that was promoting...
Would you repeat what you said, the name of that particular program?
Yes. The title of the program was "In the Course of Human Events."
Uh-huh.
And then a subtitle underneath that, "God's Plan for This Generation."
Wow. Okay.
And the program was promoting globalism. It was heaping praise upon praise on the United Nations and the various global organizations that were plugged into the United Nations, uncharacteristic of some of the other programs that I've seen on TBN, most notably, I guess, would be the... if I recall correctly, the World Intelligence Review that... what's the fellow's name?
Is Benny Hinn on that TBN?
Yeah, he is. Oh, I've got a few comments about him later
okay.
for you. But who wrote the late great Planet Earth? Hal Lindsey.
Uh-huh.
His program usually the last time I've it's been a while since I've seen it, but there are usually warnings about globalism and the United Nations, and it's critical of the United Nations as an elitist organization and part of the global conspiracy. And that's why this particular program I saw last week, God's Plan for This Generation, was quite uncharacteristic because it was promoting these organizations. And it was talking about a World Prayer Team, whereby the goal was to mobilize large numbers of people to pray for the same thing, and which also caught my attention, because when you collectivize large numbers of people to think along the same lines, that does have an impact on events, on things that happen. We thoughts are things. What we think about grows. To have large numbers of people focusing their mental power in the same direction at the same time can have impact on world events. Certainly, if we all were thinking in terms of brotherhood and love and world peace, and united in that thought, regardless of what our nationality or background was, we could be a very powerful force for good. And so that's why it caught my attention, and that's why I brought it to your attention. After seeing the program, I took down the website. I took a look at their website, worldprayerteam.org. Very slick site. They obviously have a large amount of money available to them. And I just I saw it as a Stephen. Yes.
Please.
A little too close.
No, you're doing just fine. Mariah's barking, and you continue, but I'm going to go check out and see what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see. Where was I? It caught my attention, and I thought that it was something that I wanted to bring to Jackie's attention, so that in our discussing it, Jackie wanted me to come on the program and to bring it to the attention of her listeners, because it accentuates something that Jackie and I have talked about a number of times in the past, and that is I was just telling your listeners that we've talked about this in the past, that I wanted to bring the program to your attention, because we've discussed the changes that have occurred in Christianity, and that the kind of Christianity that religious broadcasting promotes is an apostate Christianity. That,
yeah.
And I made the statement that I felt that the global religion, the New World Order religion, was in fact going to be this apostate Christianity, that this is what is being promoted, in spite of the fears and the rhetoric that we hear from the conservative right, that Christianity, fundamentalist Christianity, is under attack by the secular forces in society, that I feel contrary to that, in fact this brand of Christianity is being promoted all over the world, as a global religion.
And
just look at the history of TBN itself. Started off as a very small organization, and now it's a global organization all over the world. Large amounts of money at its disposal to broadcast their brand of religion, their brand of Christianity, all over the world. And in observing their growth, and they're going into areas of the world that have previously not been receptive to Christianity. To take communist China as an example, they are broadcasting in China, and I just wondered very often, well, what is it? Communist China is supposedly Christianity is anathema to them. There's great hostility towards Christianity, and yet it is being promoted quite vigorously in what is promoted as an atheistic, materialistic society.
Yeah, and I noticed on the World Prayer Team, they said it's non-denominational.
Yes. Yes.
So it isn't Christian at all.
Well, they call it that, and Trinity Broadcasting calls what they are preaching, they're calling it Christianity, but it's not the spiritual teachings that were being promulgated by Christ 2,000 years ago, and in fact, the Christianity of today is very different than the teachings that were being taught back then. A number of reasons for that, and that is that the books of the New Testament were not put down into writing way long after the death of those whose names appear as
right.
its authors.
They're not even really sure of the authors.
Well, that's correct. And it was really the founders of the Catholic Church hijacked Christianity, altered its teachings, and destroyed the ancient libraries and monuments to hide what they had done. The library in Alexandria in Egypt and elsewhere were destroyed principally to hide what the Catholic Church had done, so that their teachings could not be challenged.
When you mentioned that Christianity today is apostate, I was thinking that to myself. It always has been, because we don't.
Well, not always, but certainly going back to it's being hijacked by the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well,
yeah.
325 A.D.
Right. Yes. I mean that.
The form we've gotten has always been that way.
Well, it's been stepped on a number of times and altered continuously, even in this century. The numerous translations that book has undergone, that continues today. The changing of words, you change words, you change...
the whole meaning.
Change meaning. And even back then, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there was contention among the church fathers themselves about what was going to be included in the Bible, what became the Bible, and there were claims and charges of forgery. Much documentation available regarding that is discredited by both the Catholic Church and the leaders of organized Protestantism, who don't give any credence to it and insist that the Bible is the inerrant word of God.
Its contradictions.
Right. Right. So, and insist that people believe that way, and accept it, and without question. To question it is to even have questions is a form of heresy.
It's you're not supposed to question.
Well, you're not supposed to question the Word of God,
right,
as if it were
exactly.
Chiseled into stone by God Himself, when it was really the priesthood themselves who were putting down the writings, and the people themselves, the majority of the population, was illiterate. They weren't doing any of the reading. They couldn't read.
Right.
So they had to accept what the priesthood was telling them that was in these texts that were called the Word of God. As an aside on that point, I did come across some information a good while ago, and I'll share it with you and your listeners, regarding the term the Word of God. It doesn't say words of God, it's a Word of God.
Uh-huh.
Originally, the Word of God was, in the East, it was the word Om. O-M or A-U-M, as being the monosyllable from which all other words are derived. In the Hebrew and later Christianity, the word became Amen. In Islam, it's Amen. So another and perhaps more accurate meaning of the Word of God would be that single word from which all other words are derived.
Which, say what that was again?
Om in the East, and in the West, in Christianity and Judaism, it would be Amen. In Islam, Amin, A-M-I-N. Just as an aside, as a point of information.
Hmm. So, in other words, the beginning of language, is that what we're saying?
Well, in Eastern thought, the cosmos itself is an outgrowth of sound.
Uh-huh.
And that sound is the sound of Om. That single syllable vibration is the sound from which the physical world was manifested.
Interesting. That's the Eastern teaching.
Yes.
You know, that is interesting, and there's That is ancient.
See, Christianity is really an Eastern religion. It derives many of its the principles that are described in it come from the East.
Well,
it was Westernized.
Like you're talking about Jesus' teachings.
Well, yeah, Jesus' teachings.
Not the religion itself.
Well, that's the teachings are the religion.
Well, they aren't. That's the whole point, Stephen.
Well,
you think about it. Well, maybe one day they were, but you know most Christians that I talk to quote so much heavily in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and then they skip over the Gospels and they quote Paul. And I'm not saying there isn't truth in some of that, both of them, but he wasn't teaching what Jesus was teaching.
No, you're right about that. He wasn't.
He Judaized Christianity.
The basic teachings themselves originally were Eastern, that were Westernized to make them acceptable for people in that particular locale.
Or was it to make them acceptable or to whitewash, so to speak?
Well, no, I think it was meant to help because even in spite of all the changes that were made in it, it's still a pretty remarkable book in that it summarizes ancient teachings. It is compared to the Old Testament, compared to the massive religious text of the East, the New Testament is a relatively small book.
I know, because his message was so simple. I mean, I'm not saying. What I mean is that the real that I believe traces back to the Eastern teachings, if you would. I mean, and I've seen these quotes side by side,
mm-hmm.
statements that the Buddha had made, statements that Jesus is. Credited with making.
Sure, I've seen that.
All the same thing.
I've seen that as well.
And the most important ones are, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Yes, and that's not just in Christianity, as you say, that appears in Buddhism, appears in...
those are the simple truths, that's what I meant.
Yes, it only shows that truth comes from a common source. That in effect, there is only one religion, and many paths have developed out of that ancient one religion.
To lead people off the path, it looks to me.
Well, that happened.
Think about, yeah.
That happened, yes. But originally, it wasn't that way.
But don't you think they've done the same thing with the Buddha religion? With the teachings, let's not call it, in the first place, I found nothing ever in the Bible where Jesus said, I'm here to start a new religion, and maybe it's spiritual truth is a more appropriate way to define it.
Well,
because religions are man-made.
That's true. The so-called founders of religions never founded a religion.
Right.
It was their followers later, and those who took over, who organized the religion, and that's where things went off track when they became organized.
Not to be helpful, but to lead people off the path and to keep the truth from people.
Well, it was meant. It became a control mechanism.
Yeah.
Because the ancient priesthoods very often were also the secular authorities, and when they weren't, they worked in coordination with the secular authorities to dominate, control, and manipulate the population. There was no separation between church and state.
And then, you know, the Christians, non-Catholic Christians, poo-poo the Catholic religion. But when you take a look at it, all of the lies that you say when it was hijacked back there in 325 A.D., and all of the lies that were told there at that time, that have been told since, were brought right down into the Protestant religion.
Oh, sure.
The only thing they left out was saying the rosary and you know.
It was a variation on the same theme. There, that too, Protestantism was also meant be a mechanism of control for the population.
And the evidence exists that those protesters, the reformers, so to speak, were all part of the program, once again, controlled opposition.
Yes.
And it seems, I don't know that this is so, but from so much that I've read, when the church was, when it really, the people started getting questioning when the church had their agents out there selling indulgences.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a sinner, give me some money and then your sin is, and even if the people had no money, they would take a stein of beer, anything, you know, give me something out of your house that's worth something.
Sure.
And in the book, Mystery Babylon Religion, that basically was taken from the two Babylons, the money was pouring in to the church so heavily that they said they were literally raking it in.
Yes.
Raking it in.
Mm-hmm.
So the people start getting a little restless and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then out came the reformers. Okay,
well,
you know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, look at the ancient world, the banking really originated in the ancient temples.
Oh yeah.
And that's why the architecture of many of your banks, and especially in your larger cities like New York City, the big banks down on Wall Street, they look like temples. To give that feeling of a strong foundation, a legitimate foundation, that but it all originated in religion.
Yeah, and the money changers were the bankers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even we had talked about a number of weeks ago when I was talking on the program about the mind control issue, with reference to the arts and entertainment as being a an ideal mechanism for inculcating ideology, ideas, and
that's
propagandizing,
right. Creating the culture.
Right, creating the culture. This originated in religion, in the temples, the music, theater, dance, storytelling.
Uh-huh.
All originated as part of religion, and so when people say that. In so-called modern times, that we have a separation between church and state, it only appears that way. The religious authorities still work hand in hand with the secular authorities for controlling the people.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever found any information on Bishop Arius, other than, I mean, there is a little bit. I actually, of course, it's been a while, but I've done search on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing I can find is that he was anathematized. because his writings, it appeared to me from what I've read that the reason he was during the First Council of Nicaea, because he was teaching, and he had many followers evidently, that Jesus was created. That he was the Son of God, just as he said so many times, and that we are so are all of we.
Yes.
Well, they certainly don't want people to. Geez, I can remember as a little girl, Stephen, laying in bed, wondering how come. I mean, if Jesus is the only Son of God, who am I? What am I? And how am I ever going to be able to go to heaven, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly why. But they killed this guy. I mean, they first of all, anathematized him and cast him out of the church. And then, what's his name? Constantine issued the edict that anybody found caught with any of his writings would be put to death. So there is the evidence that he was actually teaching what Jesus was teaching.
Yes.
And they got rid of him, and that's obviously why you can't find any of his writings.
Yes.
They did a good erasure job, didn't they?
Yes.
Right down the memory hole.
Well, that's again, that's why the ancient libraries were destroyed, to cut off that connection with the past so that the truth would not be known. Not only the ancient libraries, but ancient monuments, works of art. were destroyed because they would have they gave a clue as to the symbolic meaning of the teachings.
You know, there have been people who have said that Jesus never existed.
Yes or no?
Okay, I'd like to pick this up on the other side because we've got to take a minute and a half here for a commercial break for Sweet Liberty. And then when we get back, before we get back into it, let's give them your address and you know, how they can
sure.
get the audio tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, would you get your pen in your hand, please, and take the address down, my address, because this broadcast is yours and it is brought to you by you. And if you would like to see it stay on the air three nights a week, we're down to, then if you aren't, then you might want to become a part of it. And we'll be right back after this with Steve Jacobson.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back again with you folks. Let me give you my address once again, just in case you didn't get it. Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. Stephen Jacobson is our guest this evening, and I'm going to let Stephen give you his address, phone number, so that you'll know how to get the Audacious. The audio tapes, the audio documentaries, folks, you cannot describe them. You know what I'd like to do one night, Stephen?
What's that?
I would like to play a couple of excerpts.
Sure.
That we should really do that. I should do that so that our listeners can get a sense of what you've done here. But anyway, why don't you give your address and let them know how they can get the tapes and
yes.
your phone number.
There are two audios, audio documentaries. One titled Mind Control in America, which is about a summary of the mind control issue. It defines the principles involved, describes the techniques, gives examples.
And technology.
And that's correct. And it places it in historical perspective. It's a full production with music and sound effects, tightly scripted. Companion tape is called Wake Up America, also about the mind control issue, but using money as an example and illustration of mind control, because psychological warfare and economic warfare work together, and they are both being waged against America. The tapes are $15 each when ordered singly, $25 for the set when ordered together. That includes shipping and handling. And the order address is MCIA Media. You can write to me at MCIA Media, that's the initials for Mind Control in America, Media, P.O. Box 15734, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem. It's two words hyphenated, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. Zip 27113. That's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113.
You do that really well.
Thank you. And my phone number here in Winston-Salem is area code 336-723-6535. 336-723-6535. And you can also visit my website, which is mindcontrolinamerica.com. Mindcontrolinamerica.com gives information on the on both audios, and the tapes can be ordered online. Also included is information about another audio, one that was developed by my father, which is called Personal Comfort Training, which is a stress management relaxation conditioning audio. In fact, when my father gave me his research materials, he was a researcher and consultant to the medical profession for 20 years. When he gave me the material that included this audio, that was instrumental in leading to my investigating the mind control issue and the development of the Mind Control in America audio series. So information about that is on the website.
And you worked in the film industry.
Yes.
Which is what led you to into the... Because you saw it, didn't you?
Right. Well, working as an editor, I could see how
you're
easy...
You're getting a little close there.
Yeah. I could see how easy it was to change the meaning of what people said, change the meaning of an event through editing. It was showed that the media reality was very moldable and very plastic. But it wasn't until I was given these research materials that I saw the implications as far as how the true impact that media has on all of us, including the people who work in media. I didn't appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated and controlled by media until I was given this research and began to study it. And then it opened up my eyes, and it led to my leaving New York City, where I was working, leaving the career I was pursuing to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental manipulation. And so, and that's what led to the production of the both audio.
Yeah. That's,
so,
but
the real issue is what we're talking about now, and that's religion. I mean, that's the bottom line issue. It's the spiritual issue that is the foundation of all these things, because that's the outgrowth of everything is the spiritual issue.
Yeah.
That's the missing dimension in world politics.
And that's what you started out talking about, the fact that they've got people praying. That, you know, this whole thing that's happening today is God's plan, our Creator's plan. This evil and all the killing and everything that's going on is so, so absolutely reverse.
Well, it's
anything that we would know as love.
There's a political agenda attached to
wrapped in a cloak of religion.
That is correct.
That's right.
Where world evangelism is teaching that Christ is going to intervene in world events, unite mankind, and establish a world government, bringing peace and a material paradise on earth.
Well, that's for 1,000 years. But remember, they also teach that what is it, Lucifer or Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be released again.
Yes, and they also are saying that Lucifer or Satan is going to appear before Christ. And I wonder about that, because given all the changes that scriptures have gone through, whether who appears first? Because given the changes that have occurred, if Jesus were to make his presence known,
they'd kill him again.
That's correct. They would, because he would be against everything that they are doing. Certainly, you would not see him shaking hands with David Rockefeller or George W. or the President or Secretary General of the United Nations,
right.
Given the deception and chicanery that goes on in the
right.
Political realm not only in this country but all nations.
Hey, Stephen, I don't mean to interrupt here, but when I was in the World Prayer Team website,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned Bill Bright and all these guys,
mm-hmm.
well, I did a quick search on Bill Bright, and, he was a CMP member, and most of these people are.
Yes.
Council for National Policy.
Yes.
And, folks, for those of you who don't know, you can go to the website, to sweetliberty.org. That's our wonderful website, and I don't say it often enough for newer listeners, but if you go into Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, there's a lead article there, Who Silenced the Outcry, based on my own experience and what I had learned from my mentor and precious friend, Betty Mills, who is now with the Angels. But it's as Betty said, people blame the liberals for everything that's happening, but without these so-called religious Christian conservative leaders, she said, they've held the door wide open for all of this to happen. But listen just quickly. I got a thing here on Bill Bright. I won't read the whole thing, but just Bill Bright, okay, CNP Board of Governors in 1982 and a member until he died. I guess he's gone now. Formerly, he was a fancy foods salesman. And for 11 years, it says, Bill and Vanetta Bright were groomed for leadership and trained in ecumenical doctrine, living in the home of Henrietta Mears, who, with Charles Fuller, Harold Okenga, or somebody, and J. Edwin Orr of Oxford University, and Armand Geswine, worked together to establish ecumenical campus movements. Now listen to this. Okay, he was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, member of the National Honorary Committee of the RHA. I don't know what that is. Leading participant at the founding of the STE program, STEP, STEP, it's all capital letters, and I didn't get a chance to look into that. In 1951, Nelson Bunker Hunt, heir of the Hunt Oil Company fortune,
mm-hmm.
and Wallace Johnson, founder of Holiday Inns, worked with and funded Bright's Campus Crusade for Christ to the tune of $15.5 million. In 1967, Bright formed the Christian World Liberation Front. Now, doesn't that sound a little communistic?
Mm-hmm.
The Christian World Liberation Front, CWLF, as a covert front for Campus Crusade, which split off and became a leading ministry in the Jesus People movement. Hunt arranged a retreat for more than 500 millionaires who pledged $20 million to Campus Crusade. Now listen to this. I'm going to jump down. In 1996, he was the recipient of the Templeton Prize. Bright received the prize from Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, in a private ceremony at Buckingham Palace, at a press conference on March 6th at the Church Center for the United Nations in New York. Templeton said, I have been ambitiously praying that Bill and Vanetta Bright would win this award. The Church Center for the United Nations in New York, and was given the prize by Prince Philip. So what does that tell us? And all of these guys are all connected.
Yes. Yes, well, the so-called right-wing Christian conservative movement is a created movement that is manipulated by the same people who are controlling and manipulating the so-called left-wing liberal movement.
Yeah, of course.
So the same
Oxford University.
Yes,
that's where what's his name. The Bible, Scofield Bible, was
That's right.
printed.
Yes.
And Scofield was funded by a bunch of friends of, what's his name? Oh, gosh. I know his name almost as well as mine. But a bunch of very wealthy Jews. And that, from my understanding, is what most of the, quote, Christian ministers are being taught by in the seminaries today, the cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot. No.
Well, it's spiritual science is not something that can be taught in university. It is.
Yep.
It has to be transmitted from master to disciple, just as the example of Christ with his disciples. In all religions, you have the.
You're getting a little close there.
In all religions, you have two teachings. You have the teachings, an outer and inner teaching, a secret
esoteric
teaching.
Esoteric and exoteric.
Yeah, esoteric and exoteric and esoteric.
Right.
This is because not everyone is prepared to receive the transmission of the same information. Jesus taught a secret doctrine to his disciples.
And you know, Stephen, when you think about it, and Alan and I were talking about this just a few days ago, and he mentioned this. You know, it's interesting because tonight you've just so much repeated it, not repeated, but confirmed so much of what we've discussed here, and I love having it coming from another source. It just sometimes makes a difference for people in the way they hear it. But getting back to the power of the spoken word, they know it, and that's why they want people praying the same prayer.
With them directing what those words are going
exactly,
to be.
Exactly, exactly.
Sure.
And the secret societies, maybe this is a thought that I've had, and that originally they were created to protect, if you would, preserve the truth. But as Alan pointed out, because of the power that within each and every one of us, it wouldn't be okay for just everybody to have this, because there are so many that would and they do misuse it.
That's right, because power corrupts.
Yes.
And originally, the teachings were transmitted through the various mystery religions and the ancient mystery schools.
You know, one of the most, I guess, important things, I was a student of metaphysics. One of the important things that we must always remember is that as we sow, so do we reap.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, to know it and to misuse it, I mean, intentionally, because intention plays a great part in, how would we call the soul growth or karma, whatever we want to, however. But that... God, my mind is racing now. I've never mind.
Well, again, nothing is more heinous than to deliberately seek to retard the spiritual growth
and
development of other beings.
And
that's exactly what they're doing,
uh-huh.
What they're seeking to do.
But the people who do know it, the tremendous, can you imagine, I can't imagine the repercussions, what happens to these creatures who misuse it, because they do.
Well, they suffer for it, and I wouldn't want to be in their shoes of any of these people for that reason.
It is even one of the things that that was so impressed upon us is that it is just never okay to impose your will on another's. In other words, we were created with free will, and to impose, to have that type of ability, let's say even with thought transference, Alan was telling us that they actually set up these points where they do meditation and that, you know, to bring these high-powered people, like a pyramid type
mm-hmm.
arrangement,
mm-hmm.
to create a particular vibration
mm-hmm.
in particular areas to help to promulgate their plan and to further the lie. The misuse of it is, and that is forcing, in a sense, it's forcing your will on another's.
Yes.
On another's will. And that's a real taboo.
Well, and especially because of the end that they have in mind, that they're trying to hold people back from growing spiritually, because they know that the centralization of their power is going to dissipate as people come into their own, so to speak, and come to, and attain their birthright, or the birthright of knowing who and what we are.
Yeah.
That's and people are suffering today from a amnesia and misidentification of who they are. People don't know who they are and what they are. They misidentify themselves as the physical body. The self that we really are is not the self that we think we are is not the self that we really are. And that's a central issue for everybody, that this misidentifying the body as the self is the root cause of all of our problems, because people then, when they think that they are the body, then they become fearful of anything happening to the body. Then they become fearful of death, because then they think that it is they who die, when it is the body. We're not the body. The body is our possession. It's a vehicle through which we express ourselves and gain experience, the experience meant to help us come into a realization of exactly who and what really are.
Full spiritual consciousness.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's why we're here. That's the purpose. The purpose of life is to solve the riddle of life. Who am I?
Yeah.
What am I? What am I doing here? But the central question is, who am I?
And Jesus said, know thyself.
Well, all the sages have said that.
Yes.
Know yourself.
There is nothing more to know.
Because what do you know if you know everything there is to know, but you don't know the one who knows?
Right.
Then you don't know anything. All you need to know is, who am I? Answer that question, and there's nothing else. There's nothing else to know.
Right.
There's nothing else to learn.
Right.
And that's the central issue, the central question that we're here to resolve for ourselves. And it's hidden. It's hidden inside us. It's hidden in our heart. The Bible is a roadmap to get us there.
I'm sorry. I don't think it is a roadmap.
Oh, it is. It is, Jackie. It's there.
The problem is
that the Bible has become a graven image.
I know,
people
but
are worshiping the roadmap instead of the destination that the roadmap is meant to help us
You're too close again, hon. But what I'm saying, though, is with all of the contradictions... I know it's there, but what I'm trying to say is that the discernment has to be there for the reader, and because people have been so totally immersed in the belief that it is the Word of God, that you have to be insane, because there's so many contradictions. And every word in there is the word of God, so that therefore there must be a tremendous fear of Creator, because it's always changing. You see what I'm saying? So it could have been a roadmap. It could have been a roadmap, but Stephen, talk to people.
I think it still is.
Well, that's fine. But you talk to people. And I talk to a lot of people, and when I hear the quotes that to them are important, they're not getting it, Stephen.
Oh, I know that.
Well, okay.
I know that because the...
And it wasn't... I mean, it was the priesthood who jumbled it all up like this to cause the confusion.
And the priesthood of today, the pastors and the preachers, don't understand it themselves. So how can they... If they don't understand it themselves, if they haven't realized their own true self, then they're not capable of guiding a congregation to that same realization.
That's right.
But it is there.
And I wasn't meaning to be argumentative.
No, I know that. It is there. It is all scriptures are a roadmap.
And I've said that, you know, over and over. It isn't that there isn't truth there, because I do know that there is. But there has to be discernment. And if one statement is the opposite of another one, and then you believe both of them, you've become insane.
Well,
it's double-mindedness.
Yes. And yeah, that's another issue in itself. But the book has become an idol and a graven image
yeah.
for so many people that they lose sight of what it is, of what it can do, what it's meant to do. Because once you've arrived at the realization of who you are, then you don't need scriptures anymore. Then it's done its job. But unless you have a guide to a spiritual master, one needs one who knows. One who knows teaches another who doesn't know. And if you get a blind minister who's gone through a seminary, and that's not the way to learn it. It has to be done at the feet and serving one who
yeah.
already knows.
And you know, okay, here's something I'm thinking about, because these statements attributed to Jesus, ye are the light of the world. You know, that is a very short, simple, succinct.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. I'm going to give you an example. Anyone who harms a little child, one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better that a millstone was hanged around his neck and he
mm-hmm.
would drown in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's back up there a minute. Do you think he said, anyone who harms one of these little ones who believes in me? He loved all children,
mm-hmm.
and all children didn't even know him. So they put the words in there, who believe in me, and so then people go, the baby's going to hell, the baby never got baptized, and all of the non-Christians are going to go to hell. You see, understand what I'm saying,
yeah.
honey?
Yes.
So
it's the all the doctrine and the dogma that's been mixed up into it that was
yeah.
designed as a control mechanism. Take the idea of you only have one lifetime and that's it. So you better believe what you're told by the church authority or by the authorities of organized religion, else you're going to spend eternity in hell.
And see, yeah.
I mean that was designed to scare people into revering authority, listening to authority, and not thinking for themselves, not questioning authority.
And you bet. And this has gone way too fast, and we just got our 1 minute. Thing here. I want to give, we don't have time for the address, but folks, if you want to get a hold of Stephen and get his address, if you didn't get it, 336-723-6535. And I know he'll be back with us again, won't you, Stephen?
Yes, I will, Jackie.
Oh, gosh, didn't that go fast?
Well, time goes by quickly when you're having fun.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Okay, I just knocked the tape off the thing. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow night. Thank you for being here. And, Stephen, thank you for being here.
A pleasure, Jackie.
Okay, good night, ladies and gentlemen. And God bless you all.